Welcome to the Niches You. My name is Matt Gottesman at Matt Gottesman on Instagram, and this is my daily podcast where I create short, quick hitting episodes to help you uncomplicate life, creativity, and the pursuit of your highest self. There's only main character energy here. Now let's get into it. Welcome to episode 248. No one has the same measures for greatness, but you should define it for yourself. No one has the same measures for greatness, but you should define it for yourself. I, again, am going to read another chapter out of Rick Rubin's book, The Creative Act, A Way of Being. It is in the show notes in the recommended reading book list. And I was reading an excerpt. This particular chapter is called Submerge, The Great Works. And it's interesting. It's, you know, it's a quick two-page excerpt I'm going to read to you guys. But it's interesting when you think about defining greatness for yourself. And you have to be very careful as to, are you defining greatness from an external world or from an intuitive internal one that is unique to you? And it's interesting, when I first podcast I ever had, The Hustle Sold Separately, you know, I always start off the very, very beginning talking about, you know, I'd always say like, welcome to Hustle Sold Separately, you know, and then I'd always say like, you know, I feature guests where we talk about what are they experiencing in real time. We don't glamorize or glorify end success because you have to define that by yourself. I can't give that to you. The guests on the show can't give that to you. You can look at so many different people in how they are curating their life, how they are creating their world. And one, you don't know behind the scenes. And two, you don't know why they are curating the world that they are curating, even if you find it very appealing. And three, you know, it has to come from a very internal place, because otherwise you'll always find that you're chasing. You're chasing either somebody else's greatness, an idea of greatness, society's idea of greatness, right? Titles, accolades, all these things. And they won't have the same meaning when you're defining the greatness from within. It's cliche, but it seems true. And that's why I always, you know, again, the niche is you, right? Because this is this idea of, have you sat to think about what greatness looks like for you? And greatness has so many different aspects of definition. Is it how you spend your time? That's a big one. That's a really big one. Is it what you do for your life or your livelihood or your work? Is it how you connect your passions and your interests and you deliver them to the world? Is it how you spend time with family and friends? Is it having a family? And in having a family, how are you spending time with them? What are you doing with them? How are you leading them? What does a good life look like for you? What are metrics that matter to you that may not be important to others? It's important to make these measures of success for you and only you. And then, of course, yes, you know, with friends and family, you know, you hope that they align because they're also sharing in the journey as well with you, right? But no one has the same measures for greatness, but you should define it for yourself. So I'm going to read this chapter in the book. Again, it's Submerge, The Great Works, page 49 in The Creative Act, A Way of Being by Rick Rubin. And he says, broadening our practice of awareness is a choice we can make at any moment. It is not a search, though it is stoked by a curiosity of hunger, a hunger to see beautiful things, hear beautiful sounds, feel deeper sensations, to learn and to be fascinated and surprised on a continual basis. That already there will help you, by the way, define what greatness is for you. And he goes on to say, in a service of this robust instinct, consider submerging yourself in the canon of great works. Read the finest literature, watch the masterpieces of cinema, get up close to the most influential paintings, visit architectural landmarks. There's no standard list. No one has the same measures of greatness. The canon is continually changing across time and space. Nonetheless, exposure to great art provides an invitation. It draws us forward and opens doors of possibility. So Actually, and there's one more thing. There's more to this, but there's this one next paragraph. If you make the choice of reading classic literature every day for a year, rather than reading the news, by the end of that time period, you'll have a more honed sensitivity for recognizing greatness from the books than from the media. I love this because on one hand, if you're studying the greats, you're feeling inspiration. You're feeling positivity. You hope you're feeling positivity. You're feeling art. You're feeling life. You're feeling breath. You're feeling air and you're feeling perseverance. And, you know, there's a reason why you feel inspired by inspiring works of art and people. Then there's the media. And the media can really give you this false sense of reality and illusion and grandeur, right? Because one, it's all about headlines. Two, I mean, it's the media. Do I really have to give you, you know, I mean, you guys have already seen what it's done, regardless of perspective, you see what it can do, right? And, you know, even going back to when I first created the very first podcast, The Hustle Sold Separately, I would always say, like, we don't glamorize or glorify end success because media was always, I found media was doing that a lot with, you know, saying, oh, look at how amazing this person is. They sold their company $100 million, half $1 billion. Oh, look at this person's accolades. And then their titles and their status. And then what you also started finding is in some cases, people would automatically say, well, they're an expert just because they have that title. And so therefore, we have to automatically listen. And then you'd come to find out that maybe they didn't really know as much. But the point being is that media can give you a different sense of reality simply from interpretation. When you read and study what the greats did through their actions, you feel a sense of inspiration and creativity and soul come through that and into your own works, into your own life. And, you know, I also like this idea of, you know, in order to understand greatness, you have to define it for yourself through like what lights you up, your taste, your interests. How would you like to spend your time? What would you be doing with your time if that's all you could do, right? And when you see what others were doing with their time, a Leonardo da Vinci, you know, a Michelangelo, an Albert Einstein, right? Nikola Tesla. Like when you see how they were spending their time and what they were doing, what they were creating, producing, don't you often find yourself saying like, you know, for the most part, you're like, you know what? I admire them so much, not what I would want to have done, but I admire them and I feel inspired by them. Well, yeah, what you're feeling is their creative energy and output of what they chose to do with their time. Right? You ever see somebody in a completely like different field that they just love what they do and you see how far they've taken it and you feel inspired by them? You don't want to do what they do, but you feel so inspired. That's because you're feeling their creative output energy, I believe, right? You're feeling their success really came from their ability to take a chance on their talents and skills and what they created and the world around in which they curated for themselves. And I think that's what you're inspired by. At least that's what I'm inspired by. So I love that, you know, Rick Rubin says, by the end of that time period, you will have more honed sensitivity for recognizing greatness from the books than from the media. Yeah, because the media is just giving you an interpretation like, oh, this person's being celebrated. Look what they've done. You should want this too. Do you? And it's interesting, right? Because it's like, oh, well, that's celebrated. So therefore, that must be the route I should be taking. No, I should go into that field, that job, that accolade. I should want that kind of, you know, business or whatever it might be. And maybe you don't. So I like that he's posing the idea of maybe if you go into the works of art, into the works of great people, into the works of, you know, just good taste and understanding like what resonates with you, that would help you define your greatness. And he says, this applies to every choice we make, not just with art, but with the friends we choose, the conversations we have, even the thoughts we reflect on. All of these aspects affect our ability to distinguish good from very good from great. This helps us determine what's worthy of our time and attention. And that I believe is where you can measure what greatness is for you. What is getting your time and attention? What would you like to get? What would you like to have your time and attention? And what would you like to be doing with that time and attention? He says, because there's an endless amount of data available to us and we have a limited bandwidth to conserve, we might consider carefully curating the quality of what we allow in. Now we're getting into curation, lifestyle. Curating your life is an act of participation. And I know when the possibilities are endless and limitless and you can do whatever you want in terms of like, hey, well, what activities do I want to be doing? What hobbies do I want to be spending time on? What, you know, what kind of food and, you know, and creating my meals and doing all these things. At first, it can almost feel overwhelming because that's just it. When there's so many choices, you have to then take the accountability and ownership of making choice, of making decisions for yourself. It's easy to default to, well, this is what society typically wants. This is what my work wants. This is like things that where decisions are already made for you. And it can be easy to play it safe from there. But at the same time, if you want to really flourish your own, whatever you're here to do for your life, you want that accountability and ownership of saying like, what is my taste? What do I like? Where do I like to go? What conversations do I want to have? Why am I not having some of those conversations? Or what conversations am I having? What would I like to expand on? What would I like to get rid of? Like, this curation of your life is your ability to create one. You're creating your life. This is helping you define what greatness will be for you, and it won't be based on some external world at all. You'll just be tapped into like, this is what I want to be doing. And you won't feel the pressure when other people, maybe they're doing something that makes their world great, or maybe not. I find a lot of people are in such a hustle mode of maybe not necessarily enjoying, not enjoying, I don't want to say that word, but like, they're maybe not going after the things that would be healthier, right? And they're not feeling fulfilled. And it's feeling empty and they're still chasing and chasing and chasing, right? You will feel less of a pressure to align with other people's path when you are actively defining it for yourself. And you will feel less pressure as to how it should look to the outside world, and you will feel more confident in living it so much that other people, especially I've had tons of affluent people. I mean, like, I remember there have been some high, well-to-do CEO, very wealthy, you know, and they're just like, I love your life. And I'm like, mine? You know, they're like, you're happy. You seem, you know, grounded. You seem like you love your work. There's passion there, you know, you're in a living from it. You know, there's a lot of different things that you do. And I'm like, well, why don't you? I mean, you went after this, like you're doing well. And they're like, well, you know, it wasn't necessarily, you know, either they didn't want to necessarily go into it, or it was like kind of, you know, for the money or for whatever number of reasons, versus making the whole life about the life instead of just about the money or the accolades or the success, right? The success defined by the external. So to finish this chapter, this two-page chapter, that he says that he says the objective is not to learn to mimic greatness. There you go. But to calibrate our internal meter for greatness, so we can better make the thousands of choices that might ultimately lead to our own great work. That is what this is about. No one has the same measures for greatness, but you should define it for yourself. And yes, there's thousands of choices. We are making probably over our lifetime millions of choices. And if you're going to be making choices, can you make them with more clarity, with more discernment, with more activity, you know, active participation and engagement and accountability and responsibility? Can you be intentional with why you are making choices based on what you believe is an ideal life for yourself? That you will be able to measure your greatness. You will be able to measure success for you, and it will be only attributed to you, and you won't feel like it has to measure to somebody else's definition, because you will own the definition for yourself. And that is everything. No one has the same measures for greatness, but you should definitely define it for yourself. I appreciate you guys. Thank you for tuning into every single episode. For this book, it is in the recommended reading list. You can find that link in the show notes. Bookmark the recommended reading list. It's within my Amazon, but I'm always updating it. I put it on my live the other day, and I noticed a lot of people clicked in on that. So also, there are other workshops in the show notes. Please check those out. There's other related podcast episodes. Please check that out. There's the creator community. We are growing. We're doing some really cool things in there. As I keep talking about that, I'm going to continue to keep talking about that, because I definitely want those that feel like they need a community and they want to move forward on a lot of things and they don't want to do it alone. We got you. And I appreciate you guys always. Truly, it's amazing how much we're growing. Please leave a 5-star written review on Apple. Please leave a 5-star rating on Spotify. As always, as I say, it helps expand the awareness of the show. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Until next episode, I'm out. All right, that's it. We'll stop there for right now. I hope you found this helpful and applicable in some way. I want you to remember, you do not need to fit in. And you certainly do not need to fit into some category or title, nor be put into some box. The niche is you. It always has been. Please share this with a friend and be sure to leave a rating and review. Your feedback means everything to me. And also, thank you for listening and supporting me. If you're new and you want to receive these the moment they come out, please text me 480-530-7352. Text me podcast. I promise to only send you the good stuff. Thank you. And until next time, I'm out.